Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago, and welcome inside the clubhouse. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I am David Haugh, along with our baseball expert, Bruce Levine. We are here until 10:45 today, building a bridge to DePaul basketball, talking Cubs, talking White Sox. And Bruce, finally, we get to be talking about games on the horizon. The White Sox open on Sunday, the Cubs a day later, but we are done over-analyzing live batting practice and intra-squad games. We finally will have an opponent to evaluate the Cubs and the White Sox against. There's a lot of other things to discuss. We've got guests. We've got calls. We've got a lot to pack into 2 hours. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, David. Yeah, looking forward to watching games, listening to games, certainly as well on the Scores. Cub games begin this week as well here on the Score, and we're looking forward to baseball, period. The weather broke a little bit this week, so we can breathe and shovel out and really anticipate a month from Monday, opening day for both the White Sox and Cubs. Let's start with a little bit of a preview of the show today, David.
Okay, sounds good, because we are going to talk to Nico Horner, the Cubs' young second baseman, at 9:20, kind of catch up with where Nico Horner stands, how he's viewing this spring and the opportunity in front of him. And then at 9:40, we'll talk to the White Sox reliever Aaron Bummer, fine young lefty. He is a guy that they are counting on heavily this season in a bullpen that is loaded with power arms. And then the top of the hour, we'll start to hear from listeners. We'll talk about the White Sox, the dynamic between Tim Anderson and Tony La Russa. We'll talk about Javi Baez and Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo. We've got a lot of guys to talk to and talk about today, Bruce. So hopefully we will cover all the bases, as it were.
And our phone lines are always open at 312-644-6767. That's also our text line. David will read all that's worthy on the air and try to keep us on the airwaves. David, looking forward to this week in particular, watching some of these rotations roll out. And the Cubs still looking at a rotation of Kyle Hendricks. And then, depending on who you talk to, and it's mostly David Ross, and sometimes we get to speak to some of the pitchers in Arizona, Jake Arrieta is either your two or your three pitcher in this rotation. And after that, it slopes to who is going to stay there. Is Mills for real? Is Alzolay ready to step up and take innings? Is Williams back to the form of 2018 after going into the Cubs pitching lab for the last couple of weeks? A lot of intriguing stories about their rotation.
So as we look at the Cubs, Bruce, obviously the rotation that leads, I think, to their biggest questions, and their bullpen, how that's going to be composed. We talked to Tommy Hotovy on Friday morning on the Mully and Haw show, and he was very interesting in talking about just how he's viewing this spring. The White Sox have a lot fewer questions. They probably have, as we heard this week, a pretty set lineup, but with the exception of maybe designated hitter. I'll say this, and let's start with maybe the biggest surprise to me this week of things that we heard or that we were looking at, was the introduction of Jake Berger and Gavin Sheets to the designated hitter competition with Andrew Vaughn. Three young hitters. We knew that the Sox were going to be in a position to count on Andrew Vaughn this year. Did not expect to hear the names Jake Berger and Gavin Sheets offered by Tony La Russa as guys competing with Vaughn.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to be looking for some extra pop there. I still think it's a situation where you keep that position open, mostly for Yasmani Grandal, Abreu, and Jimenez. With Grandal, you're paying a record contract for him in his second year of a four-year deal to be productive. Yes, your top catcher, catching a great staff, number one job. But 1A is also a switch-hitting power bat that they paid a lot of money for that they want in that lineup every day. Your starting catcher, David, is not going to catch more than 120 games. If he does, you're going to wear him down to the bone. That's just not what you want. So you're going to have Grandal in that batting order a lot of times there. You don't want that, in particular against right-handers, that left-handed power bat sitting on the bench.
So as we consider who the Sox are going to turn to be the DH, the biggest surprise, I think, not the biggest surprise all week, but when the Cubs talked about inviting and Brendan Davis to camp, whenever you hear a young prospect, especially on a team that hasn't really had a lot of those guys develop in recent years, it piques your curiosity. So what can you tell us about the young center fielder that the Cubs are taking a longer look at this spring?
Well, he's a very athletic young guy. You won't throw the five tool on him, but he does have he has good five tools. Let's put it that way. He's not a gold star five-tool player, but he can run, he can hit, he can catch the ball. It's nice to hear about a prospect coming through the system that's not a number one draft pick. You know, the Cubs have done a very good job of moving their number one draft picks into major leagues and doing a good job of developing. But after that, you know, you see now David Bodie with the team. You're looking at potential of some bullpen guys from the system still hanging on and contributing. But in reality, hearing about a blue chip player like Davis coming up, you know, that is interesting. And you have a few more coming in, Amaya the catcher. You have Marquez that's coming in as a top left-handed pitcher. So things are starting to move a little bit as far as prospects for the Chicago Cubs.
But just to be clear, when you have a 21-year-old prospect, I mean, if this were a White Sox prospect, in recent years we have seen these guys accelerate quickly through the system. Brendan Davis is not on an accelerated path. He still is going to be, what, a year or so away from, you know, playing at Wrigley Field if the Cubs hold on to him and he develops at the rate they expect?
Yeah, I think that's right, David. And you know, he's a good-looking player, but you know, he's not as advanced as you would say some of the, you know, the Cuban connection or Jimenez was when he was traded for from the Cubs to the White Sox. He still has some things to do. And, you know, playing at AA and AAA before he matriculates to Wrigley Field and the Chicago Cubs, that's going to be a part of his development. Is he as sexy a player as some of the White Sox players? Maybe not, but he's still, you know, he's still a blue chipper. They're hoping for development into that Cub batting order sometime in the next couple of years.
What you're trying to say, Bruce, is he doesn't have his own walk-up music yet, and he doesn't star in his own video like Yoan Moncada. And the swag that the White Sox sort of carry, whether it's Moncada, whether it's Luis Robert, whether it's Tim Anderson. And Tim Anderson had some very interesting things to say yesterday on our station, and some of them you didn't even have to use the dump button to hear. He was in full Tim Anderson form, and that is what you want. And he gets people excited, Bruce. And he has, you know, every time that he speaks, something out of his mouth is confident. It's maybe a little brash, but it's something that he has backed up, and it's refreshing to hear a player as enthusiastic and as confident in his team as Tim Anderson consistently is about the White Sox.
This is Inside the Clubhouse. That's David Haw. I'm Bruce Levine. We're here for you every week, 9 to 11, a shortened version today till 10:45, but packed with baseball information and your input at 312-644-6767. David, our first guest will be coming up soon.
Looking forward to that. When we come back, we will talk to the young second baseman for the Chicago Cubs, Nico Hoerner, who is working on a lot of things this spring. One of them is an open stance. We're looking forward to talk to him about. There's some other things. So stay with us, because Nico Hoerner is at 9:20. Aaron Bummer is at 9:40. Top of the hour, we'll have baseball conversation, 312-644-67 with Bruce Levine. I'm David Haw. Welcome inside the clubhouse here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's offensively, right? I mean, Nico, who he is in a lot of ways for us is, you know, the ideal baseball player in some respects. It's just about his mentality, his work ethic, how he sees the game, his defensive skill set, his ability to move all around the diamond and play different positions. You know, Nico's just continue to work on developing and, you know, seeing live pitching, seeing major league pitching, continue to get better and work on your strengths and weaknesses in that area. I mean, I think that's you can say that about a lot of guys, but I think that's a development process that Nico put a lot of work in this offseason and just got to go out and execute his plan.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, I'm David Haw, here until 10:45 today. That was the voice of David Ross, the Cubs manager, talking about the young Cubs second baseman, Nico Hoerner, Bruce, and it seems as if Nico Hoerner has been here for a long time, and he has been here since obviously the end of the 2019 season, and he played last year, but it seems like he's almost a veteran now, even though he was the first-round draft pick in 2018. Maybe this is all part of the development, but boy, he is developing at the major league level, where a lot of guys, they don't get to do it at his young age. They're still in the minors, kind of working their ways up, but it says a lot about his maturity and his readiness for the majors.
Well, you're right about that, David. I mean, here's a guy with only 375 plate appearances in the minor leagues, coming up and playing starting shortstop for the Chicago Cubs in a pennant race in September of 2019, stepping in for the injured Javier Baez. And he did it so seamlessly that people thought it would be a it would be a magic carpet ride all the way to the Hall of Fame. Things are not that easy, as we will talk to our good friend here in just a second.
Yes, Nico Horner is a guy who has already become a household name for a lot of Cubs fans, Bruce, and we are lucky enough to have him join us right now.
And he will join us. Nico, welcome. It's Inside the Clubhouse. You're with David and Bruce. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean, talking about yourself, I know, is not your favorite thing. So let's start by talking about the team and what you see from early part of spring training here. The addition of some, the subtraction of some. What is camp like this year compared to last season?
Yeah, I mean, even though the core is largely the same, each year definitely feels different, and you know, there's different narratives and all that, but. I'm super lucky as a young player to have the position player core that we have, and I've talked about that before, but I think there's so much learning from being around players that have been great and want to be great and are at different points in their career, and just seeing how people handle that is really great.
Talking with Nico Horner on the Score Hotline. The guest hotline is brought to you by Alpamonte Ford, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park and North Avenue, by or APFord.com. And Nico, we were talking about just how you have been able to develop at the major league level, where a lot of guys your age and your in your draft class are working their way up through the minors. There are advantages to that. Obviously, you want to be in the major leagues. You want to make that that ascent quickly. But how much does that increase the challenge? You have to make these adjustments in real time, and that obviously complicates things. There's a lot more scrutiny and a lot more people watching you maybe struggle and work through some of these early things in your career.
Yeah, and that's just, and you hit it right on the head. That's a huge part of the development, not just baseball skill-wise, but, you know, handling pressure, handling traveling. Each part of that is part of being a successful major leaguer. And I don't have it all figured out. I probably never will have it all perfectly figured out, but I've definitely been thankful just to have a season at all last year. You know, there's so many really great players my age who just didn't get to play baseball last year, so... obviously not how I wanted to play last year, but to have feedback at all is so valuable, and I'm definitely better for it at this point.
With your exit meetings after 2020 with the Cubs, what did you talk about what you wanted to do in the offseason? How did you implement that going into 2021? And what's different about you and maybe your the way you approach baseball in 2021?
Yeah, well, I think on the assessment side, any fan would be able to say it as well as me or the front office. Just in that, you know, I'm going to be a very solid all around player, and you know, I ran the bases well and played good defense last year, but I didn't hit that well, and so that's not that hard to figure out right there. But then, you know, how do you go about it? And that's the difficult part. And super lucky to have the resources we do with the Cubs and the people. I really enjoy working with this staff, and the addition of Chris Valleca is really exciting for me, someone who I worked with in the minor leagues and a guy I really trust. And so him and Post together are going to be a great duo for the hitting side.
So, Nico, in the offseason, if the way I understand it correctly, is that you decided you have been working on a more open stance. And I guess for the layperson, the baseball fan watching at home on the Marquee Sports Network or listening to the games on the Score, how does opening your stance make you more dangerous of a hitter or create what you have described as a more athletic approach at the plate?
Yeah, so I think I had a closed stance for a while, and it's the kind of thing that you feel the same, but over time just gets more and more and more closed, especially as, you know, things get harder, you kind of resort to certain things. And for me, I think I just started getting more and more blocked off to the point that really fighting myself, you know, baseball is hard enough as is, and then you put yourself in a compromised position, and it gets even harder. So that's a nice feedback from the Cubs on that, and good communication there. And for me, whether it's open or neutral, it's really just, it's being in a place where my body's not blocked off. I can work with space. I have more time. Should help the swing itself, but also decision making and increase my comfort and athleticism as a hitter and go from there.
That's the voice of Nico Horner from Mesa, Arizona. You're listening to Inside the Clubhouse on The Score. Nico, when you look at the possibilities of some of those iconic Cubs that you've called teammates since 2019 in September, your everyday friends and the people that you go to work with, what are your thoughts knowing that some of these guys are going into their walk year, and how do you think that will impact the season at all? I mean, we know they're true professionals. We know they won't be distracted, yet that conversation will be taking place certainly outside of your clubhouse on a daily basis.
I know it's definitely an interesting factor. It's not something that, you know, I've really been around that much because my time here has been limited. So, I'm definitely someone that learns from watching other people, and I'm excited to see just how guys handle that. And I think that can be some healthy pressure too, especially since other guys are going through it at the same time. I feel like that makes it better instead of just being on an island by yourself as the one guy who's really trying to have, you know, a big year, and it turns into a selfish thing. I think that would be a much harder situation in an organization that doesn't have a chance to win. I think having the main priority of winning should align like guys' priorities pretty well. And so, going through it with other guys, I think it's never easy, I don't think, but I think if there is a situation that's doable, we've got a good setup for it here.
You know, Nico, the dynamic between the second baseman and a shortstop is so important, and I think sometimes overlooked. And with Javi Baez, you have a Gold Glove shortstop, a guy who has played your position. How would you describe your rapport with Javi and how the communication has evolved since you were, you know, again, you came up very quickly, a lot happened fast, and that relationship was sort of compressed into okay kid, you can't really, here you are, and you're in the midst of a lot of pressure, and you had to produce immediately, and that relationship had to kind of, you couldn't have the growing pains that typically you might be able to tolerate.
Yeah, so when I got called up in 2019, it was because Javi wasn't healthy, obviously, and so I didn't play with him then. And then last year, I really only played about half the game. So even though it's been a long time as far as, like, the calendar, it hasn't been that long as far as baseball games themselves. So definitely still something that's developing. He's an absolute, like, joy to play with. Just a positive, great teammate, and just as a fan of baseball, it's really fun to play alongside someone like that, and definitely look forward to continuing to build that chemistry.
Nico, you've talked about the fact that David Bodie was one of the more welcoming people for you, and somebody that reached out when you first came to the team, and now you're in competition with him for that second base job. That's what sports and baseball is all about, is competition. Talk about that dynamic with David. Obviously, Vargas is another good player that's in the mix. But talk about your dynamic with David and how you approach that on a daily basis as kind of a mentor, friend, and competitor.
Yeah, I think Bodie deserves a ton of respect as someone who's been in the Cubs organization for a long time and really earned his way to this position. Obviously, everybody does in their own way, but his trip to the minor leagues, there's a ton of different ways to get to the big leagues, and his took a lot of character to get through, and so that's very much on display still, and a guy who works incredibly hard at his craft, and you know, he's really found his way of earning his place in the major leagues, because nothing was really ever given to him at all, and so he's going to always have that chip on his shoulder, and that's really healthy to have around for a group. Just someone that's kind of pushing things to the highest level. And so, love talking the game of baseball with him. He's someone that we all benefit being around. So, yeah, lucky to have him.
Nico, what's your level of anticipation when the games actually start? They don't mean anything, we know that, but fans are going to start to trickle in. You'll have that this year. Yeah. That's been a while since that's been the case. So how would you describe your excitement level as you anticipate the return of games?
I know. I thought that we might get a Darvish-Hendricks matchup, our first game of spring with Caratini. I hope Caratini – I'm not – I heard that – I don't think Darvish is pitching, but I think – if Caratini's catching, that'll be fun to watch his at-bats versus Kyle, because they're they're close and obviously know each other incredibly well. So, but as a whole, very exciting. I mean, spring training means different things, different people depending on where you're at in their career, and excited both to show the work that I've put in and also keep that development mindset, understanding it's early in the year, and really enjoying myself because, you know, the off season is long and, you know, you work on specific things, and at a certain point you really just got to go play and see where you're at and go from there. So I'm just excited for that feedback, and even if it's limited capacity, just seeing fans in the stands is going to be a really refreshing sight.
Nico, in closing with you, and David and I really appreciate your time this morning from the desert. What was your physical routine in the off season as far as trying to get stronger yet staying athletic, which is seems to be very difficult for people that don't know, you know, how to go about that. How do you go about getting stronger yet not tying yourself up muscle-wise as you get your added strength?
Yeah, so I was really had an ideal situation as far as working out this offseason. I stayed in Chicago. I was at Wrigley. Was with our strength coach, Shane, as well as one of our trainers, Nate. And so being able to work with both guys, you get a combination of the strength side as well as keeping your body healthy. And so as far as the resources, I really, you know, you can't ask for much more than I've been able to be exposed to. So, yeah, definitely feel like my most athletic and healthy self, as you should be at the beginning of the year, because it's not going to get better.
Right.
just super thankful for what we have here and just trying to make the most of the resources for sure.
So, Nico, you stayed in Chicago this offseason?
Yeah, my girlfriend works at Northwestern, so I was actually living at her place in Lincoln Park. I was there until late January and then came out here in for February.
Well, you got out in time because we have had was starting to melt now, but we had 2 weeks straight of snow, so you're among the lucky ones. That's great that you were able to experience a Chicago winter.
Yeah, I got out of there just in time.
Nico, thank you so much for joining David and I. Have a great spring training. We're only a month away or so from opening day. We're looking forward to seeing you. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Nico. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Nico Hoerner, the young second baseman for the Chicago Cubs, Bruce, and you can hear this. He's mature. He sounds like a guy who has been here for longer than maybe he has. He's yet to play a full season, and yet the Cubs count on him to take hold of that second base job and be an asset more than a liability moving forward in 2021.
Absolutely. Refreshing young guy. And speaking of young guys and Arizona, we will go from Mesa, Arizona to Glendale, Arizona when we come back and talk to Aaron Bummer of the Chicago White Sox as he gets back to a full healthy season and probably joins one of the, David, maybe the best bullpens in baseball.
That's the way they're looking at it, and we will hear from the young left-hander next. Bruce Levine, I'm David Hall. Welcome inside the clubhouse. Join us next for the interview with Aaron Bummer from Arizona here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's one of the darndest velocity movement pitches I've seen. Got a kick out of watching, you know, the guys who are trying to catch them. I mean, it's unique and very, very effective. So, you know, happy for him and his wife and the baby. And I know he's due in, I think, sometime today as far as going through the protocols. But that's a unique talent, and it really works. A starter can definitely work as a reliever as well.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse here on The Score until 10:45 with Bruce Levine. I am David Haw. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was the voice of Tony La Russa talking about his fine young lefty, Aaron Bummer, new father recently, and he has made an impression already on the new manager of the White Sox. And Bruce, Aaron Bummer's future is bright. He has been an asset for the White Sox, but they you look at a lot of teams around the league that he could close for, and he is in Chicago playing a very valuable role for the Sox in what could be they think the best bullpen in baseball.
Yeah, and David, I think we're ready to go.
So let's go out to the Score Hotline presented by El Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or ap4.com for our special guest, Bruce.
He is one of the top relief pitchers in baseball and a favorite guest here on Inside the Clubhouse. We are pleased to have our friend Aaron Bummer join us today on a Saturday morning from Glendale, Arizona. Good morning. How are you, Aaron? How's everything going there?
Morning, Aaron.
I'm doing really well, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing great. First of all, give us some insight on how the baby is. How's everything going at home? Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Everything's awesome. Mama's healthy. Baby's healthy. You know, they're going to get to enjoy some sunshine here in the next couple of days. So I'm excited for them to get out here and, just kind of enjoy some sunshine and get back with the fam.
Yeah, so Aaron, congratulations. That's great. When you look at your last couple months or so, it sounds as if you were the ultimate planner, that you anticipated the due date, you anticipated what was going to happen, and you got to Arizona early, and then obviously you welcomed your daughter into the world, and now you're back to baseball. That's a lot to process in a short period of time.
Yeah, and you know, everyone from Tony, Ethan, our training staff, the front office, you know, we're all kind of on board with the same plan. Tony and the staff, you know, really preach a family environment inside the clubhouse and how important, you know, us becoming a family as teammates is. And, you know, it was really awesome that extended out to outside the clubhouse. And so, you know, I was really thankful for all the time that I got to spend at home. And we were able to kind of create a little bit of a plan, knowing that I was going to be late, saying kind of, hey, here's a 6-week plan of from the middle of January until you potentially head out to Arizona, so that whenever you get out here, you are on schedule. And, you know, that's exactly where I feel. I feel like I'm in a great spot. So everything is good.
Don Cooper has left the White Sox. He's retired. Ethan Katz is your new pitching coach. And it was pretty interesting to hear him talk earlier in the week, Aaron, about the fact that when he caught you and first got with you, that he said in all his experience as a high school coach, now in the professionals with the Giants last year, he had never seen movement on a pitch like your sinker. Can you talk about your getting together with Katz now and understanding, you know, what he's expecting of you going into 2021?
Well, it doesn't help that I also threw him the best sinker of my life, so, you know, that's it.
It just was one of those things you're saying.
Yeah, it was a perfect storm. No, but we've had a lot of really good conversations about kind of, you know, how can we take the next step moving forward, you know, whether or not it's, you know, and it's not necessarily, you know, mechanical things or not necessarily you know, adding or subtracting a new pitch or certain things like that. But we've had quite a few conversations about pitch selection, pitch usage, you know, trying to put ourselves in the best positions to succeed. So, you know, I think speaking for myself and I think a lot of other teammates, you know, Ethan's doing an amazing job of putting us in positions to get better. And so I think that everybody's using this spring training period to get better and get ready. And, you know, I think that the sky's the limit for all of us, you know, and I hope by the end of the day that everyone's got that nasty pitch that they can put in their back pocket and use whenever they need.
Talking with White Sox left-handed reliever Aaron Bummer here on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Aaron, psychologically, did you have a hurdle to clear in terms of the injury and the return? And pitchers deal with this kind of stuff all the time. But when you had, you know, sidelined last year, I think it concerned a lot of Sox fans. You come back this spring, and the expectation is you're going to be the guy that everyone can count on, like they're used to counting on. But did you have to get past anything in terms of knowing that your arm and your biceps is fully healed?
Not necessarily. It's just listening to the guys around you. You know, our training staff and medical staff do an amazing job, and they've, you know, they haven't steered me wrong. So, you know, listening to them and just following the plan that they put out in place, you know, at the end of last season and throughout the off season, that I knew that if I was going to do the things, or if I was on board with the plan that our training staff had, then coming into spring training and even at the end of last season, that we weren't going to have a worry at all about that bicep. So that's where I'm at now, that there's no worries, no hurdles to clear, no nothing, and it's just kind of go time from here on out.
Aaron, at 27, you're hardly a grizzled veteran, yet you are a veteran amongst a lot of the guys in the bullpen. But one guy coming in who we've already found out to be quite a unique personality, is Liam Hendricks. Have you had any Liam Hendricks moments yet? I mean, this guy seems to bring it off the field as well as he does on every day. Ball of energy and a pretty entertaining guy, to say the least.
Yeah, you know, other than him running around the field, yelling, doing, you know, just being him, you know, not necessarily. I think it's kind of funny that, you know, hopefully at the back end of games, you're going to have the complete opposite demeanor out there on the mound. Usually I think that I'm pretty chill and pretty relaxed out there. And he's out there yelling and screaming at everything that he does. So it's kind of a yin and yang in that aspect. But yeah, I think that there's a lot of things that we can learn from Liam as well. You know, he prides himself on being able to get up and go every single day. You know, he doesn't want the ball taken out of his hands. You know, he wants to be on the mound, you know, every time that we're winning a game. And he wants the ball in those situations. So I think that from the bullpen, you know, it's kind of like you said, as, you know, 27, and to say that I've been here for a couple seasons, but, you know, I don't have the experience that he has. So there's always something that I can be doing to learn from him, you know, even learn from guys like Evan Marshall, learn from the veteran guys that have been around, you know, to help me in my career as well.
And Aaron, there's plenty to learn from Don Cooper, and he was a pitching coach who became an institution with the White Sox. And the transition from maybe the old school Coop to kind of Ethan Katz, who's, you know, 30-something young pitching coach who kind of fits the mold of the modern day pitching coach. How would you describe that transition and just the contrast in styles and approaches they might take?
I think that all, to me, I'm a guy that all information is good information, you know, and I think that keeping Hass on staff, you know, definitely has blended that transition for us, and saying that there's a familiar face in Hass that the bullpen has had a significant amount of success with. You know, Hass has done a great job out there. And then adding Ethan to the mix, it's just kind of a, you know, and I love and respect everything that Coop has done for me, and I'm sure there's a lot of guys in the clubhouse that feel the same way. But I think that we're very excited to work with, you know, work with Ethan. I know that Coop was always in our corner. You know, no matter what, he was the one fighting for us, and he was fighting for me. So, you know, I'm forever grateful for giving the opportunities that, you know, Coop was able to give us. But I think at the end of the day, I think that working with Ethan is going to be a new, fresh face, you know, and hopefully that kind of unlocks a little bit more potential, and hopefully guys can kind of keep taking that next step forward.
When you look at your bullpen mates, you're 6'3". Most everywhere you've gone, you've probably been one of the bigger guys in a locker room. But there are guys that might make you feel small size-wise when you look at not only the height of some of the guys that are in the bullpen with you, but the way they throw the ball through the wall, you know, 100-mile-an-hour, you know, situations. When you look at what this bullpen could be like potentially, how exciting is that for you, and how much you guys look forward to developing one of the more dominant bullpens in baseball?
You know, I think that we want to give our starters confidence that no matter what, if they go 5, 7, or 8 innings, you know, we're going to get the job done for them. So that's at the end of the day, that's my goal. You know, if the starter gives us, we've got to keep ourselves in games, and we need to lock down wins whenever we have a lead. And I think in our bullpen that there's going to be 8 guys that are more than capable of doing that. So whether or not a guy needs a break, whether or not, you know, we have an injury, whether or not, you know, things happen in bullpens and guys, you know, guys are come up and down due to injury or whatever it may be. And I think that there's 8 guys that are going to be in that big league bullpen. And then I think that there's going to be another 6 or 7 guys down in the alternate side or Schaumburg that are going to be completely capable of coming up and providing us good quality innings. So just kind of knowing that there's a depth to our bullpen, you know, it's awesome, you know, and I hope that's something that we can be able to go out there and be really good at the back end of games and be really good at keeping us into games so that, you know, at the end of the day, we're winning as many as we can. We've done a pretty good job of that over the past 2 years. But obviously the goal is to continue to do that.
A few more minutes left with our guest, Aaron Bummer of the White Sox, a fine left-handed reliever here on Inside the Clubhouse. And Aaron, this may sound like a dumb question, but when you have such natural movement in your sinker, when you have such, you know, as we talked about Ethan Katz kind of kidding about him playing catch with you and he had never seen something move like that, how hard is it to kind of hone that so you have control and you know where the ball is going and is going where you want it to go? Or is there just some element of, okay, when it leaves your hand, you kind of just, wherever it goes, you have to live with that? Because the control aspect, I think, is something that is a consistent challenge.
You know, probably up until 2000, and I would say up until 2019, my focus was to just kind of throw the ball over the plate. In college, I mean, I think that in college, I think that my catcher set up, you know, down the middle on every single fastball. You know, not necessarily asking myself too much, just trying to get the ball over the plate and let my movement do the work. And I think that I found out in 2019 and moving into 2020 that I was better with a small area focus. And so me trying to make the best pitch possible and trying to execute as well as I can two corners and two location made me a lot better pitcher. So, but with the movement that I have, you know, it's a huge trust factor. You know, I let them, you know, as soon as the ball comes out of my hand, it's out of my hand and I can't do anything about it. So every time that I go up there on the mound, it's just kind of going out there and I've got confidence with my sinker. I've got confidence, you know, with all my pitches that if I make my pitch, chances are I'm going to have success. So that's just kind of the way that I go about it, just knowing that, you know, my best, I'm going to go out there and try and throw my best, and I believe that my best is good enough to get the outs that I need.
We're going to let you go after this question, but Aaron, thank you for David and I joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. We really appreciate it. When you heard the curiosity part of Tony La Russa joining the team as your new manager, that was one thing. Now you're realizing it every day. What has been your interaction with Tony? What have been the thoughts? What do you think? How has he fit in so far with the rest?
You know, I haven't been here long, but, you know, I would say that we're all on the same page. And our page, you know, and that page is to win and win as many games as we can. So, you know, Tony's letting us, you know, be us. He's not restricting anybody in the way that they do. You know, TA's going out and being TA. And I think that's all that we can ask for right now is, you know, to continue to, you know, build that relationship and build that up, to build that trust and create that family that we've been talking about. You know, and we're definitely going in the right direction with the guys in the clubhouse, the new additions to coaching staff. You know, everybody's on the same page. So that's, at the end of the day, you know, I think that we're going to be in a really good spot, you know, with Tony, with our staff, with the new players, you know, everybody. You know, and everybody's got that same common goal, and that's to win.
Well, Aaron, congratulations again to you and your wife, Amber, on the birth of your daughter. What is your daughter's name, and how has fatherhood, I guess, changed your perspective as you enter the spring training?
My daughter's name is Brinley, and, you know, it's awesome. You know, becoming a father, I kind of never realized what it was like to, you know, my parents used to tell me, you'll never know how much I love you. And, you know, as soon as, you know, I got a hold of my baby girl, that was kind of the feelings that I got. So, you know, it's an awesome experience. And, you know, I miss them a lot, and I can't wait for them to get out here. So that's what we're holding on to.
That's great. Best of luck this season, Aaron Bummer. Thank you for joining us this morning on Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce, and when we come back, we will shift gears to the other side of the Phoenix area and the other side of town. We'll talk about the Cubs and the Cubs core. And we heard plenty from Javi Baez and Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo. Looking forward to getting your thoughts, Bruce, on what exactly they had to say. And also we'll hear from you, the listener, 312-644-6767. Call us and tell us what you want to talk about. What were your impressions of this week? What did you think of Tim Anderson's big talk? What did you think of what Tony La Russa had to say when we had him on the Mully and Haw show on Friday morning? Let us know your involvement, our opinions here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.